السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're starting to record and we're going to be in Ayah. We're going to be in Ayah number 12. Idna. I'm sorry, Ayah number 13. Innahu huwa yubdi'u wa yu'id. Innahu, he is, yubdeo, start recreation, start creation. Wa and Yu'id. Bring the creation back. You can say also inna means indeed. Innahu means indeed. You can say this is indeed. So Allah says He's the start, He starts the creation and He redo it again.
What day is it today?
22nd? 21st, yes.
No, 21st.
Means Allah starts the creation, then the first time.
What number Surah is that?
Yes.
Surah 85.
Then He does it again.
Surah 85.
What number Surah is Surah
Buruj?
85.
Yeah, then He does it again. So basically what we're trying to say here is what? We're trying to say that Allah does the creation the first time and then He does it again in the Day of Judgment. Okay? So He does it again in the Day of Judgment.
What's about the animals on the Day of Judgment?
After judging, Allah turns them into dust. Allah turns them into dust, according to the animals. Yes. No. The animals are not accountable. Allah just brings them back to life to serve justice among animals. Like if a strong animal abused the weak animal, then Allah will take revenge from the same kind. So if a strong lion abused the weak lion, then the weak lion will do the same to the strong lion in the Day of Judgment. You got it?
If you're in Jannah,
you're
like a pet lion or something.
No, all pets are going to be turned into dust. Do you get other pets in Jannah?
No.
Maybe.
But older unicorns.
If you ask for anything, if you ask for anything, you get it. I just assume that even if it's
unicorn. Okay, first thing I'm going to ask is I'm not a unicorn.
You got it? You understand this? Okay. So, why does Allah say here that He starts the creation the first time and He does it again? What is the message? What do you think the message in this ayah is?
If you don't go today, you're zero.
I want you guys to think. I want you guys to think.
It doesn't make a difference. I'll just go.
I just want you to think right in this here. Why Allah is saying this? What kind of message Allah is trying to say?
No.
Just grab the one. I mean, when she selects one, don't argue with her. Just go out and don't disturb the class. Okay? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so Allah says that for the ones who make fun of the Day of Judgment and say, how could you possibly bring these bones back to life? But it for us, it's always easier to make stuff the second time. And so why do you think Allah can't make human for the second time?
Takbir. MashaAllah. This is the perfect right answer. The perfect right answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a message. Giving a message to the people who say, Day of Judgment? No way. There is nothing called Day of Judgment. Then you ask them, why are you saying that? Why are you saying, on what basis you're saying that there will not be a Day of Judgment? This person will say, because it is impossible to bring back dead things to life. Because it is impossible to what? Bring back dead things to life. Got it?
Wait, it's possible.
It's impossible. That's the argument of the people. The argument of the people, huh? The argument of the people who don't believe in the Day of Judgment. You ask him, how come you don't believe in the Day of Judgment? The answer is, because Allah can't bring back dead people to life. Because it's impossible to bring dead people to life. And then they tell you, give me one example where dead people came back to life. My father died and he didn't come back. My mother died, she didn't come back. My grandfather died. My great-grandfather died. None of them came back to life. It means that it is what? Impossible. Impossible. So Allah answers in this ayah saying, He starts the creation and then He bring it back again. So Allah is saying, simple logic. Allah is telling them, hey, if I showed you now that I can do it for the first time, right? Why do you think it is difficult for me to do it again? Why? Right? If you do something for the first time, okay, would it make sense if I challenge you if you can do it again or not?
Me in one direction?
Anything. Like, let's say you solved a math problem for the first time, okay? And then I ask you to do it again, okay? Which time is going to be easier? The first time or the second time? Second time. So you proved yourself in the first time that you're capable of doing it, then it would make no sense that I say you can't do it the second time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Allah saying, He starts the creation the first time and then He will redo it again. The second time that He will redo this is going to be when? In the Day of Judgment, right? So if Allah showed you that He can do it for the first time, then wouldn't it make sense that He will do it, be able to do it again? Do you understand the message to hear? So, the message is, okay, and you're going to be answering this in your homework. The message is that Allah is saying, I did it the first time, which is more difficult than the second time. Why do you think I'm not going to be able to do it the second time? All right. Then ayah.
What?
Ayah 14.
Like, I remember
it's fucking true. Wa huwa al-ghafuru al-wadud. Ah. If you want to talk to somebody, take him outside, or her outside. Okay. Wahua, dawa means, and Huwa, He is, Al-Ghafoor, the one who forgives. Al-Wadud, the one who seeks the love of his creation. These are two names of Allah. Let's study these two names, Al-Ghafoor and Al-Wadud. Al-Ghafoor means he forgives. Even the people who burned believers, tested them, and burned them when they failed the test, like test them, say, oh, which is you? Who's your God, the king or the one in heaven? Okay? If the person says the king, then this person is saved. If this person, or like spared. If this person says it is Allah, then it's pushed in the fire. Allah said that those people who did that, okay, can be forgiven and go into Jannah if they repent. So that's why Al-Ghafoor here is a reminder to them, and that, hey, reminder to the ones who hear the story. Hey, see, even if you did that yourself and burned believers, you can still repent. Now tell me, what is the sin that cannot be forgiven even if the person repents? Repents. Huh? Oh, name the sin that cannot, hold on, cannot be forgiven. Watch, I'm tricking you. Cannot be forgiven even if the person repents. Huh?
If he repents, but then he does it again, and then he repents.
No, we're just talking about repents.
A lie.
Huh? What is it?
If he worships another god?
Okay, no, huh?
If he lies?
No.
Isn't there none?
Takbir!
I knew.
Because, like, when you converse to Islam, then you're, like, clear from all, like, sins of yours.
And also, if you do it while you're Muslim, then, and repent, then Allah will forgive you. There's nothing. Even if you think about the Pharaoh, if the Pharaoh would have repent, Allah would have forgiven him.
As long as it's sincere.
As long as sincere, yes.
Because he, right before Abraham, he repented, but it wasn't from his heart.
Right, exactly. So, what we're trying to say, Saeed, go over there. Or come over here. So, okay. Now, so the first point here, we learned that nothing is not forgiven. With repentance. Nothing is not forgiven by repentance. Nothing. Name a sin that if you do it, it will not be forgiven. It is nothing. If you do it and repent, you will not be forgiven. It's what? Nothing. So, now, if you don't repent, if you don't repent, then Allah may forgive you, may still forgive you, may still forgive you, may still forgive you, except what? Right? Yes, I mean, you might, there are sins. I mean, if you don't repent, Allah may still forgive you. Okay? Except what kind of sin that cannot be forgiven without repentance?
Shirk.
Yes. Except shirk. Which is what? Making partners to Allah. You got that? Do you understand these rules?
Yeah.
So, nothing is not forgiven with repentance. If you don't repent, then you still may be forgiven. It's not guaranteed. But you still may be forgiven, but what?
But you can't be forgiven.
But you cannot be forgiven from shirk unless you repent. You see? You cannot be forgiven for shirk unless you repent. All right.
Wait, what does that say? It's underneath El
Gafur. Where here? Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud. Now, what is the wisdom of Allah accepting repentance? What happens to the guy who killed 99 people? And then he was told that his repentance is not, he cannot repent. What did he do?
He wanted to repent.
He wanted to repent, so he went to, started going to the hell.
No, he was told that after killing the 99, he was told that he cannot repent. Allah will not forgive him.
He killed the person who said he couldn't repent.
Yes, he killed the person and he made them 100 people. So now he killed 100. Now the question is, why did he do that? Why did he kill the person?
Because he thought he could repent, so...
Yeah, he said, I'm going to hell anyway. I'm going to hell what?
Anyway.
So, it doesn't make a difference. Let me kill that person. Because now it doesn't make a difference. So, the message here is that if the door of repentance is not open, criminals will remain criminals forever. Criminals will remain criminals forever. Okay. So now, if the door number one, number two, and number three If the door of repentance is closed, then criminals will say, I am going to hell anyway. I am going to hell anyway. So let me continue doing crimes. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So it's going to be a disaster if the door of repentance is closed. It's going to be a disaster. There will be no way for criminals to go back into being good people because they will say, hey, I'm going to hell anyway.
Okie dokie. Where did you put my...
Okay. Then we come al wadud. Then comes the word al wadud. What is the meaning of the word al wadud? The one who seeks the love of his creation. Now, isn't it wonderful that Allah is seeking our love? Allah wants us to love Him. It's like He's so kind that He cares about us, that and He cares about making us to love Him, making us love Him. You got it? Now, you might think if there is a president or a king, and there is a slave. There is a little insignificant slave that, you know, has no significance in the society. Would the king care? Yes.
Quick question about this. Wouldn't you be more motivated to do only what good
if that's impossible to do always good. You will always make mistakes. Then you will say to yourself, well, I've made the mistake, there's no door for repentance, I'm going to hell anyway, so let me continue. And then the society will suffer. The society will suffer so much because society wants you to repent and redeem yourself, right?
Redeem your social
value. Redeem your value, right?
Like the man
who killed the 99. He said, I'm going to hell anyway. When he was told that there's no repentance, he said, let's make them 100. And if he was told that there is no repentance again, he would have made them 101. And then he would kill non-stop because, you know, I'm going to hell anyway. Why should I change myself? So, back into the Al-Wadud, name Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud is the one who seeks the love of his creation. Now think of a king who's seeking the love of a slave, you know, a slave in his kingdom. Doesn't that make sense to you? Does it make sense to you that Obama would seek the love of some homeless people or homeless guy?
Yeah.
No, because Obama might say to himself, you know, who cares about the love of this homeless guy, you know? Who cares about this homeless guy? Right? The king will never care about seeking the love of, you know, the homeless people or the people who are insignificant or slaves. Okay? You got it? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
But here is the catch. Allah cares about the love of His creation. It doesn't matter the rank. It doesn't matter what the rank. If you high ranking, or if you are from the elites, or you are from the lowest rank of the society, which you're poor and you're homeless, Allah will still care about getting your love. Allah will still care about getting your love. You know? He wants you to love Him. He wants you to love Him. Even if you are from the lowest rank of the society. Doesn't that, you know, impress you? Like Allah, He really wants to love you? Now, the question is, how Allah is seeking our love? What is He doing to seek our love?
Gift!
That's right. MashaAllah. Now, let me ask you a question. If I give you...
$1 million.
If I give you, like, $100, wouldn't you love me?
Maybe.
What about if I make them 1,000?
Maybe.
Yes, what if I make them 10,000?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
How about 100,000?
Have a million.
You will... No, he will really love me so much if I give him that much money.
I would love someone so much if they got me a ticket to London.
Ticket to what?
London.
London, see?
Why do you want to go to London?
Well, I need more.
But no, okay, okay. Here's the idea. Here's the idea. The idea is Allah seeks our love by giving us what? Gifts. Gifts. Like here, a gift for you. Here is a gift for you. The gifts, these are generic gifts and like specific, like personal gifts. The generic gifts is like the sun, the air. It's for every body. For all humans. And then...
For all living things.
And then... Just focus with me here. And then the personal gifts are given only to who?
To us.
To individuals. Like, for example, the heavenly journey of Prophet Muhammad to heaven, to visit Allah. Is that a generic gift or a personal gift?
Personal.
Personal. Like, we don't get it. Okay. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Prophet Musa, is that a generic gift or personal gift?
Personal
gift. Now, Allah does give us personal gifts as individuals. Like, Allah saved you from yesterday's accident.
What accident?
Just imagine that you were about to do an accident yesterday, and Allah saved you, in the last minute, you were able to avoid the accident. The question is, this is a gift for you from Allah, that you were able to avoid the accident. Is it a generic gift or personal just for you?
Personal
just for you. Exactly. If you have a cancer, and Allah cured you from this cancer, is this a personal gift or a gift to everybody?
Personal.
This is a personal gift. So Allah gives us both. General gifts and personal gifts. Seeking our love. Wants us to love Him. There are spoiled brats. They say, tell them, Allah gave you ears. So what? Everybody have 2 ears. What's the big deal?
But everybody has 2 ears, but not everybody has the ear.
Not everybody has 2 ears.
Not, that doesn't mean they can hear.
Dude, Van Gogh lost an ear, right?
Now,
no,
because, okay, here's the idea. There are people who don't have ears, but this person will say, you know, those are small number of people. But, you know, everybody else has ears. And then this person might even say, well, everybody, I mean, the least that Allah has to do is to give me ears. That's the least that I expect. I mean, you create me without ears. That's not fair. You know, starts accusing Allah.
Actually,
go ahead.
If you add up all of like the disabled people together, it'll equal like a sort of larger chance of like getting it because and you could have been if it's not hearing, then it could have been eyesight. If it's not eyesight, it could have been like leg. If it's not a leg, it could have been like an arm. If it's not an arm, you can do...
A cancer. If it's not a cancer, it could be a leukemia. If it's not a leukemia...
Leukemia.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, yeah. I understand.
Leukemia is a form of cancer.
Yes. But what I'm saying that you could... Yes. What I'm trying to say is that you could have a problem. It doesn't have to be not having ears, right? Okay. So, now, regarding al-wadud here, we can write several points. The first point, okay, how Allah is seeking our love. And then the second point is, would a king care about seeking the love of a homeless poor person? And then the kinds of gifts. The generic and personal. Yeah, for personal. Not loving Allah and thanking Him for His gifts. For His gifts is denial. Means kufr. You got it? You got that? So the ones who say, Allah didn't do me any favor.
He gave you a body and health.
Oh, who cares? Everybody got it. This is the least I expect from Him. And then you say you're healthy. Oh, almost everybody's healthy. You know, that's what they argue, and it's a silly, ridiculous argument, but they just want to say that to deny Allah the favors, to say Allah didn't give me any favors. Then you say, why are you angry?
Look at this person. He's much more stupid.
He's more stupid. I mean, I am much more intelligent than him. Look at this person. I'm much more intelligent than him. And he got money and I don't. Right? And they say, Allah gives the wrong person. Allah gives gifts to the wrong people. Right? They say Allah gives gifts to the wrong people. It's like he's supposed to give me the gift because I'm a smart, good guy. And instead of doing that, he's giving it to somebody else, which is a dumb and what? A dumb and
idiot.
And yes, exactly. Right? So this is called denial of the gifts of Allah. And this will make Allah not love you. This will make Allah what? Not love you. And it makes sense. If you don't love Him, He will not love you. Okay? But He would still give you the gifts. So the question is, would Allah take away His gifts if you don't thank Him? Would Allah take back His gifts? If you don't thank Him? Would Allah take back His gift if you don't thank Him? The question is what? So, the answer is, maybe.
Maybe He'll take them away to see what, because you never see really what you have until you lose it.
Exactly. Maybe Allah will do that, to punish you or to make you appreciate the gift. It's like, okay, you don't appreciate the gift of having eyes that you can see with. Let me make you blind for a year or two. Okay, before I give you back your sight, your eyesight. Let me make you blind, and then you then appreciate the fact that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has given you eyes. You got that? All right. Here's the answer, is maybe. Okay. Now, about repentance. Can you fool Allah in repentance?
No.
No.
Can't fool anything.
No. You can't hide it.
So, the answer is, you can say by saying, that I will not pray, or I will not repent until I become old and expect death. Now, can I say, for example, a lady was not wearing hijab? Can she say? I'm not going to wear hijab until I'm 60. Then I'm going to start wearing the hijab because I'm about to die. Because I'm about to what? Die. Or a person who is drinking is saying, I am not going to quit drinking now. I am going to wait until I am 60 years old to quit drinking. Yeah, that was 70 years old.
Because after you're 60, you're kind of like...
Yeah, heading towards death. So people are basically think that they can fool Allah. Now the answer is that no, they can't. Why? The first reason that they can't, huh?
Allah knows what they're going to do.
Exactly, because Allah will know what they are planning in their heart. And Allah will trick them. Anytime you try to trick Allah, Allah will trick you. Huh?
He'll trick them by, you never know when is death going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have a sudden death.
Exactly.
And so you would never be able to repent for that sin.
Exactly. MashaAllah, takbir. That Allah can give you a sudden death. A sudden death. Like what? Like a death and five accidents. How? And I'm sorry, 5 seconds. How? And a car accident, you're driving your car, you're laughing, you're smiling, you're happy. You think that you live long. And then, after 5 seconds, boom, crash, you're dead. Do you have time to repent in a car crash?
No.
So, surprising with a sudden death. So, the first thing, Allah tricks back. Allah tricks the ones who try to trick him. By the way, I mean, when we were kids, many people were thinking that way. Like, many of my friends are thinking that way. Tell them, hey, don't you want to repent? He says, no, not yet, I'm too young. When I get 60, I'm going to repent. I'm not kidding.
A lot of people go to Hajj when they're old.
Yeah, exactly. They just say, I'm too young. Let me enjoy my young age. Let me enjoy my young age now. And I promise you, I'm going to get repent when I'm 60 or 70. Now, Allah can trick them.
When you go to Hajj, all your sins are
you have to do it right, or else.
Unless you don't repent from shirk. Like shirk, and you commit shirk, then you don't repent. Huh? Oh, yeah, then it's gone. The sins are gone.
How do you know if it is?
The Prophet ﷺ said the ones who do a Hajj that is good enough to be accepted by Allah, then Allah will forgive all their sins. But you know, in Hajj, people in Hajj sometimes curse and lose patience and fight.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I've seen that. And then that's not a good Hajj at all. Maybe Allah will not accept this Hajj at all because of they violated the condition of Hajj of being honest, of being kind, of being righteous.
Wait, okay. What happens after Hajj? Like, how do you feel? Like,
after what?
Like, I hear, like,
you feel happy.
Sometimes, like, you feel like, you are, like, born.
You feel like you're closer to Allah.
Oh, okay.
And you love Him more.
I see.
And you're so much connected to Him. You're connected to Him more. So, for example, Allah can trick them with sudden death. Two, Allah may reject last minute repentance. Like who?
Like Pharaoh.
Oh yeah, Pharaoh.
Yes, like Pharaoh. Yes, what happened with Pharaoh? Pharaoh knew for sure that Prophet Musa is true prophet because he had seen a lot of miracles. Not to mention that he has seen a dream about Prophet Musa. Then, when he was drowning, what did he do?
He repented.
He say, I believe in Allah. Or I believe in the Lord that the children of Israel believed in. And I am among the Muslims. What did Allah say?
Forget you.
Now?